On stage during Simon and Garfunkel's current reunion tour, Art Garfunkel notes it's been 50 years since the duo first met, and Paul Simon jokes it's been 47 years since their first argument. But why is the famously bickering duo and other famous acts going on the road? Christian Bordal may have an answer.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together.
Simon and Garfunkel, The Rolling Stones, Sir Paul McCartney, Elton John, Kiss, Aerosmith, Cher, it seems like an army of 50 and 60-somethings have been quitting the comfort of their country estates for the rigors of the road. Now, one reason is to hear those stadium crowds scream and chant their names one more time. But maybe there's another reason, too.
1994, which was generally regarded as a real watershed year for the concert business, we grossed $1.4 billion in ticket sales in North America.
That's Gary Bongiovanni of Polestar, trade publication to the live music business.
That was a record that actually stood until 1999 when we hit $1.5 billion. And that has gone up to the point where in 2002 we had done $2.1 billion in gross ticket sales.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
They may be singing the sound of silence on stage, but backstage the sound is more like... Simon and Garfunkel's reunion tour is earning about $1.7 million a show. Not bad for a night's work.
In restless dreams I walked alone.
Bongiovanni says there's been a 40% increase in gross revenue in the concert business in just the last 4 years, at the same time that the record industry has seen CD sales dropping. So why are concert promoters suddenly selling so many tickets? Well, it turns out they're not.
While we've been seeing steadily escalating gross numbers, the number of tickets has actually gone down.
Now there's a neat trick. How do you make more money selling less product? Well, you raise prices, of course.
In 1994, we were looking at ticket prices of around $25 on average for a ticket to any of the top 100 touring acts. In 2002, that was $46.56.
The top price for the Simon and Garfunkel tour is about $250. And they're not alone, as Paul McCartney fan Peter Chaikos found out when he went to see the ex-Beatle play at Anaheim Stadium and at LA's Staples Center.
I believe the ticket price on the ticket was $250.
And then there were Ticketmaster fees, and he took his girlfriend to both shows.
Yes, I did, so it's like $1,200.
And was it worth it?
Well, because it was Paul McCartney, I'm going to have to give it a yes. The show was just great.
So what's driving the higher ticket prices? Are concert promoters just getting greedier? Gary Bongiovanni.
The ticket price is ultimately set by the artist, not the promoter and not the facility. It's the artist that sets the ticket price, and it's a direct reflection of how much money they want to make.
Well, the Rolling Stones grossed $300 million on their last worldwide tour, playing for 3.4 million people. The fans paid an average of about $90 a ticket, not counting fees, which is fully twice the current top act average. But not all of the biggest stars are squeezing their fans quite that hard.
Bruce Springsteen has been pretty consistent in keeping his top ticket price at about $75 last year and this year. You know, I'm sure there have been many situations where Bruce could have gotten over $100 for tickets, but elected not to do that.
Sweet Caroline. Good times never seem so good.
Another artist who's kept his ticket prices down is Neil Diamond. He says that part of the reason some big-name artists are raising their prices so much is scalpers.
If they, instead of charging $250 for a front-row seat, they charged $100 for a front-row seat, the scalpers would go and sell those front-row seats for $300. And what the managers and the agents are saying, hey, either you guys make the money or the scalper makes the money.
Diamond, however, doesn't follow that logic when he sets his own ticket prices.
I just like to keep it as low as humanly possible and still be able to pay the bills just to make the concerts available for everybody. And ultimately, you know, at this point I don't need the money that bad that I have to take advantage of the people who have supported me all this time. And I won't do it.
Polestar's Gary Bongiovanni.
If the public is willing to pay $250 to see Paul McCartney, is it wrong for Paul McCartney to charge that? You know, Paul McCartney wouldn't be selling $250 tickets if people weren't buying them. In North America, Paul McCartney did 53 shows in 43 cities. The average gross was about $2.4 million per city.
And what's Sir Paul's take of that?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be inconceivable that if Paul McCartney was grossing $2.4 million on that tour, that he wasn't putting $1 million a show in his pocket.
So if he grossed over $100 million for the year, then maybe as much as $40 million of that actually went to him.
As profit.
Of course, that's not including the millions more from merchandise and live CD and DVD sales. But for all the big numbers that are being racked up by the artists, Bon Jovi is not sanguine about the health of the concert biz.
The steady decline in the number of units actually being sold is not a real healthy sign for the industry. An act like Paul McCartney really doesn't have any problem selling $200, $250 tickets. Now, the flip side of that is it may just be at the expense of other shows that they would have liked to see.
And many of the artists making the big bucks started their careers back in the 60s and 70s. They're no spring chickens anymore, McCartney, The Stones, Simon and Garfunkel, or Neil Diamond.
It's a good point, you know, when we're gone and when we stop, who will go out there, you know, and will the audiences want to come out and see them?
At $250 a pop. For National Public Radio, I'm Christian Bordell in Los Angeles.
An extended interview with Neil Diamond is at npr.org.